Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Cenovus.com.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Birdwatching Podcast, the official podcast of jaysjournal.com and fansided.com, where we discuss all things Toronto Blue Jays baseball. We'll talk about news, rumors, and game recaps. So whether you're a diehard fan or just getting started with the team, this is the podcast for you. Here's your host, Craig Borden, with co-hosts Jason Lyons and me, Ken Alfred. You're listening to the Jay Birdwatching Podcast.
Hello, and everybody, welcome to Jaybird Watching. I am your host, Craig Borden, with my buddy, as always, from the other side of the country, Jason Lyons. How are we doing, my friend?
Really good, buddy. It's been a beautiful week here in Vancouver, and you know, it's something about when you hear the lawnmowers going, you can smell the cut grass, and you know, it was loony dog night at the game the other night, and you know, just all things feel right.
Yeah, so how was your visit to Nat Bailey the other night?
It was good. They're a good team. They're fun to watch. They it was a doubleheader last Friday, and they, if I remember right, they lost. It's bad that I can't remember, but the old liquid refresh will do that to you.
How many beers?
Oh, yeah, we were going to try and do the 999, but it was only a seven-inning game. But that being said, they lost the first one, won the second one, and then they won out the rest of the weekend. There's a lot of good players on that team. I think it bodes well for Buffalo moving forwards and the Jays, hopefully in the next, 5 years.
And that's the thing. Like, we always hear about what can help this team and how can it help this team. And the unfortunate reality for Blue Jays fans is the top end of the Blue Jays farm system is a little dry, but there is some good pieces to that. And we actually, Jason, the biggest piece that fans have been screaming for, including the people on this show, is how can Aralvis Martinez continue to do what he's been doing and Spencer Horowitz to do what he's been doing down in the minor leagues and not get promoted? Over the last few weeks, we saw Spencer Horowitz, and this week the Blue Jays fans finally got the Aralvis Martinez promotion that they did, been begging for, but they didn't get in the way we were hoping, though, Jason, with Bo Bichette going to the IL. Paint a picture for me. What are you thinking as far as what we're apparently going to finally see this weekend, Aralvis Martinez in the starting lineup?
Well, I think, I don't like to toot our own horn, but toot. I mean, we've been on this train now for about a month and a half trying to get all the Buffalo Club up there. It's one of those things where I feel like Bo's injury probably isn't even as bad as they, he's hurt for sure, but I feel like they might have said, you know what, Bo, just take your foot off the pedal for a couple of days here and let's see if we can get a few of these guys up here. Let's fully let you rest, fully get healed and come back 100%. I think it's so Martinez is supposed to play tomorrow night. Is that right?
That's what I've been led to believe. Yes.
Yeah. So, I mean, I was actually a little surprised in some of those games. They didn't put him into pinch hit or pinch run even or anything, like just get him into the game. There's a lot of talk about it. And I like that they gave the viewers an insight into who he is and that kind of stuff. But that being said, at home in a game against the Red Sox, especially the 4-3 game. What's the harm in having him pinch hit in the ninth there? There's none. And
in the ball game, right?
I feel like it's a bit of a swing and a miss on the Jays' part there, but I mean, maybe they knew something. Maybe he had to, you know, maybe he was getting up to speed with some other things, and I mean, who knows? So, but yeah, excited to have him play. And, you know, I'm hoping, like we were mentioning just before we started here, I'm hoping that either the trend continues with our luck against the Guardians, or maybe we get a bit of a Freaky Friday situation where we go opposites and, you know, maybe the Guardians give us a little bit more trouble and the Red Sox roll over, because, I mean, they've just been steamrolling as of late.
Yes, and I think the emphasis is the word steamrolling. But so, like you mentioned, the Blue Jays are starved for offenses. They have been better over the last month. We have apparently one of the weirdest stats, and that everybody has been latching onto, that we are the best second inning team in baseball. Who gives a shit if you can't win the game?
That's
the problem. So if you're trying to find a catalyst to that, honestly, I have been very intrigued with the fact that they have a contact hitter in Spencer Horowitz to lead off the game. And he's honestly been doing pretty good in that role. I'm kind of curious. He's taking a lot of pitches, and it bodes well. I think you're setting the table right for the guys that should be driving in the runs, correct?
Yeah. I 100% agree. And I mean, not only Spencer Horowitz, but Ernie Clement has just been an absolute beast since coming up. Addison Barger has looked good. I mean, he hasn't met a pitch that he didn't like to swing hard at yet. And I think it shows, you know, when a guy's blowing his belt out twice in two games, and, you know, like, they're obviously, they probably have to really go at his uni every single time he's out on the field. And then, you know, and then you look at some of the other stuff, like you look at the ball that Kiermaier pooched or probably could have caught and didn't catch. And then, you know, I think one of the weirdest things was, you know, Springer can't seem to hit anything. And then he finally strikes out and has a bit of an explosion. Now, I don't know if you saw this or not, or if you've seen the story yet or not, but after he went at the ump and John Schneider came out, the umpire actually walked out in the in-between change and apologized to Springer because it was a bad call. So he must have gone back, looked at it, and been like, oh, that's not a good call, and actually apologized, which I got to give it to him for that at least. But,
you know, at least he wore it.
Yeah, I mean, if the old guys are going to keep dragging us down, then I'm all for just bring the whole Buffalo team up. And, you know, I don't want to let the cat out of the bag, but if you're a Blue Jays fan, you probably know that Joey Votto is supposed scheduled to be playing in Buffalo this week, isn't he?
That's what I hear. And to that point, we already know the Vogelbach part's been passed at this point, so there is nothing really blocking, other than possibly blocking a Spencer Horowitz playing time as a Barger insert name here, you know. But if it's something that will help this team win, this is still technically a team that is not anywhere near eliminated on the outside looking in right now. But Jason, it's not the end of the world as much as it seems like it should be. So that is the catch.
They've had a lot of sky is falling moments in the last 3 months, and yet the rest of the league continues to suck. So, I mean, and if you think it's bad, like we were talking about a week or so ago, the National League is even worse. They're awful. It's like some of the worst baseball I've ever seen. And yet
we're 5.5 out.
Yeah. They should be 20 out.
100%. So, and now the fun part about that is we are actually occupying last place because the Rays are technically ahead of us now. So there is that. So, but to that point, if you still look at those two teams on paper, I think we're still a better team than the Rays, as much as I'm going to knock on desk and say I'm not jinxing that one. But there's just enough in the tank there that I think that that's a true statement, but it is what it is, I guess.
Yeah. I mean, it's, you know, one of the things that we did see is there is a lot to work on. And, you know, I think we do have to start relying a little bit more on the Buffalo Club. For those of you who don't know what the Buffalo Club is, I mean, it's a very Canadian thing. I don't know if it's an American thing, but there used to be a thing that if you ever caught anybody not drinking with their left hand, you would call Buffalo Club on them, and they had to down their beer and buy you a beer. So, and it's hard to remember if you're not a lefty to drink with your left. So there, that's Buffalo Club.
Buffalo Club. So Seeing we're on history. Unfortunately, one of the biggest players in Major League Baseball history is no longer of this earth, and I am talking about the now late great Willie Mays. The Say Hey Kid died at 93 years old the other day, Jason. And as far as it goes, regardless of any level of baseball, you know, you have the Mount Rushmore of baseball. It's hard pressed to take Willie Mays off of that tier and say of any level that he is not any kind of foundation of Major League Baseball. One of the greatest of all time, if not arguably the greatest of all time, because he is a true five-tool player, had one of the most insane careers as a lineage with Barry Bonds and all these other fun things throughout baseball, a true lifer in baseball. Sad to see him unfortunately die, but having a full life at 93 years old, and obviously the Say Hey Kid is in the record books and enshrined in Cooperstown and all baseball lore for the rest of his life, or rather for eternity, I mean.
He's to me, Willie Mays is he's a, one of the different cats. There's a few guys in baseball lore and history that just the mention of their name conjures up certain things. And Willie Mays has five or six of those things, you know, where a lot of really good players really only have one moment. If you've ever been to San Francisco, that city loves that dude like crazy. Like he was, you know, he was a huge part of those Giants teams. He was, from everything I can see, just a tip-top man, great for the city, great for his family, great for all of that other stuff. He is a true legend. And it's funny sometimes when you hear arguments about people getting into the Hall of Fame. This guy was first ballot, first order, first chance, first everything. Just a true class act and a real baseball star.
Yes. And as far you talked about the accolades as far as his baseball career goes, and I think this one is actually one of the ones that actually ironically says the most about the man that is Willie Mays. You hear all the stories, there's all those wonderful pieces and whatnot, but the inaugural Roberto Clemente Award was won by Willie Mays in 1971. Yeah.
And I mean, Rick, the creation of the creation of one of my favorite characters in a movie ever, Willie Mays Hayes.
There it is. Say hey, Willie Mays. this man has won 24 All-Star Game appearances. He was the 1951 American or National League Rookie of the Year. Was a batting title winner. Multiple MVPs. It's just ungodly how much stuff this man did on a baseball fan and I just or a field. And I think it's crazy. The one thing he's mostly known for outside of all those accolades is the catch. And Blue Jays fans know that one very well because the closest thing to that to happen in a World Series was Devon White doing that in 1992. So, it was. That catch is one of those continuous plays that always gets shown in any baseball glory years, kind of like real, right? And the fact is, it's not just a glove thing for Willie Mays. This guy leads in crazy amounts of categories. I think it's the correct. I'm looking for the stat right now. But he's one of the very few people that had like over 300 career stolen bases and 300 career home runs. Obviously, he had 660 career home runs, so he's in the 600 club. 3,000 hits.
And then he had 339 stolen bases.
Wild. Wild. I think the only person that has eclipsed that in a career collective is, funny enough, is I think Barry Bonds is his like godchild or something like that,
something like that.
Barry Bonds.
Yeah.
So
Apple tree lineage, you know, like I mean, there's something to be said for these kids that spend time, you know, their whole lives on the field and close to MLB players and around that. I mean, look at the league right now. The league is fraught with players' kids right now. I would say it's probably the most I've ever seen right now. And most of them are leading the charges being the superstars that are in the league. And so, I mean, hats off to these, you know, like I think that sometimes some of the professional sports dads get a rough ride a bit because, you know, they're not home a lot and they, you know, they have to put the sport first in a lot of cases. But I mean, when you see, you know, good stories like Dante and Bo and Vladdy and, you know, Ripkins and all kinds of different, you know, lineage pieces that sometimes have 5 and 7 branches on the tree. It's pretty awesome.
Yeah. There's a reason that I wouldn't be shocked that Major League Baseball all is similar to Jackie Robinson, right? Willie Mays was a class act outside the Giants, obviously, we're in the 24s. It wouldn't shock me that there's some other ones that come up over the next few weeks in Major League Baseball. Just all the right things if you were going to make a prototype Major League Baseball player in Willie Mays, right? It's just you can't make him in a laboratory and get it right. And yet you had this band playing every day for the Giants, and it's wild. So very jealous. I never got to see him play, obviously. But to that point, you know, all the highlight reels and everything you do see are ungodly, like I said.
Yeah. And I think that one of the funny things, too, is that you know, my son plays MLB The Show, and Willie Mays in MLB The Show, he's often disappointed at that he isn't better than he, you know, like he's pretty good, but he's not – like epically good. And I mean, there's a few guys that are like Tony Gwynn is a very, you know, undersold, unbelievable baseball player. You know, Rod Carew, there's lots of guys that they're not, you know, they're not on, like, you referred to the Mount Rushmore of baseball. These guys are more like the guys that let you into Mount Rushmore, and there's so many of them, you know. And Willie Mays has got to be on both of those, where he was a lunch pail guy. He was also, you know, if you mention his name, everyone knows who he is. If you like the game of baseball.
And forever will be a legend in the game of baseball. And to your point, I am very shocked that his character in MLB The Show is not just the best card you get in the Diamond Dynasty.
I think they have a 99. I think they have a 99 Willie Mays, but I believe he's pretty hard to get. But there is, like, the Diamond Ken Griffey, and there's a Diamond Jackie Robinson, and they're like, they hit them 500 feet and it's unbelievable, or, you know, they're cheat codes.
Yeah. A couple of years ago, I managed to unlock the actual full 99 Diamond one for him, and I was like, and here's the ball. Didn't matter if it was you glanced the ball with a bat, or you hit it square solid, it was a home run, or it was a triple, because it's Willie Mays, the one that actually coined the phrase, the triple is the most interesting play in baseball. So there is that.
Yeah.
So anyways, just another tip of the hat to the Mays family, and obviously Willie, good on you. Thanks for all the wonderful things that you've done around a baseball field.
100%.
So back to Blue Jays-isms. We have some things going around the rumor mill, Jason, that we're going to talk about here before we dive into the fun ups and downs we had literally over the last week. Major League Baseball in general, I don't know if you've noticed, but it seems like everybody in Major League Baseball is getting hurt over the last week. I don't know if it's the heat or whatever. All I know is my fantasy baseball team went from having 2 guys on the injured list to having 6. So, and one of those gentlemen is Mookie Betts. So,
yeah,
I think there's some obvious things that people have already been talking about with the rumor mill that, oh, the Dodgers are going to hurry up and trade for Bo Bichette. What are you thinking? Are you thinking there's any smoke to that, or you think it's just the whatnot?
I think it's, I mean, the Dodgers have no quarters. They can do whatever the hell they want. They've got an endless bucket of money. Now, again, the Dodgers aren't notorious, though, for going out and acquiring somebody if they don't think they can continue to use him. Obviously, they've never trade. So, I mean, if they're going after Bichette, they have real intent, and that real intent would be to unload a couple of players and have Bo maybe play third or somewhere else when Mookie comes back. But it's one of those things where, you know, obviously I've seen a lot of the gurus talking about, you know, the kids that are coming up, and even the seasoned vets, they're trying to throw the ball so hard right now that the injuries are just mounting up left, right, and center. And then you know, it's interesting to see the variety of the injury as well. Like, I mean, it's not your common, you know, knees and elbows. It's hips, it's backs, yeah. It's necks. It's, and I think that is as weird as this season has been for a lot of the teams, not different to what I said about Bo Bichette, maybe the Jays saying, you know what, Bo, you need to just cool your jets for a minute. I think that they're being more cautious. I mean, you lose a guy like Acuña Jr. for the whole year. You know, could you have maybe babied him when it was his leg was starting to bother him, and maybe he wouldn't have lost the whole season? You know,
or is it just a freak accident? Unfortunately, that's the problem with playing any sport. It's not just a matter of this, you know, but if he was Acuña feeling anything up to that point, who knows?
He's not going to say anything.
It'll never come up.
He's not going to tell you he's hurt. He wants to play every game. He's a gamer. And it's probably the same with most of those guys. And then you got the fringe guys that are just barely hanging on. They're probably, like, I imagine that Ernie and David Schneider and those guys, they've gone to sleep in their hotel rooms a lot where they're like, oh my God, I need 1,000 Advils. And, you know, like, but you
have to cut them off
and go out and play. So,
yep. I just thought it was really sucky because this past week on the baseball card part of this show on Friday evenings, I pulled this, and it's a Mookie Betts home run challenge card. And I can't even scratch it off now because I don't know when he's going to come back to pick a date to win the platinum card or anything. It's like, shit.
Yeah.
So it was like, oh, awesome card. I might actually get a home run because the guy's been on fire all season. And then there you go. So I got to hold on to it. But I just thought it was hilarious that I think that Mookie Betts got hurt, wasn't even placed on the IL yet, and everybody was already talking with the Blue Jays trade Bo Bichette to the Dodgers. Is there some things I'd like from the Dodgers? Sure. Do I see the Dodgers giving up what, in my opinion, would be at least two of their top 10 prospects to, you know, cement a deal with Bo Bichette or trade a major league ready guy? That's a good major league ready guy and one of those top prospects. It's what's going to take because there is Bo Bichette's been an American League hit leader for years. This year's his off year, but if he was playing on a more competitive team, can you say that anything was going to be that much different than what he would have put up in numbers, you know, more often? Problem is right now, him and Vlad think they got to put the whole world on their shoulders and drive this team for the Blue Jays to the promised land, and you can't do that by yourself.
Yeah, it really, you know, it's starting to come down to so many things. And the Dodgers are strong, even, you know, like, I don't think that teams are badly as bounty hunting when a guy does get hurt. I feel like what we've seen over the last couple of years is those teams are going to try and power through a little bit and see what they get from, you know, from what they've got. There's a backup. There's at least two backups at every position for every major league team. So, I mean, you've got options as a team, and the Dodgers, though they've spent a lot of money and you know they've done what they've done, they actually have a pretty decent farm system and a pretty decent. You know, they seem to be able to get a guy or two thrown in with every one of the deals they make, and they tend to come out okay. I mean, to think that they're going to sell the farm to get Bo Bichette, I think you're crazy to think that. Are they going to make an offer? Sure, why not? I'll bet you they're going to make an offer to four or five teams, you know, that have the possibility of a good player. You know, that there's lots of guys out there that could do well in Dodger blue. And I don't think that Bichette would be their target. I think there's other guys out there that they may want to target a little more, but I mean, they've proved us wrong. They proved us wrong all summer and then smacked us in the face with the Ohtani thing. So, I mean, you know, I guess we'll see what happens. You know, it's been a crazy baseball year this year, and so much stuff that I think us collectively and a lot of people that are in the media thought there's no way that's going to happen. And then it immediately happens. And you're like, what? And you know, it's a crazy year, and crazy stuff is happening. And I mean, I don't even know what the All-Star game is going to look like. I mean, it'll be like a two-team showdown.
Do you think anybody's even going to want to show up with how people keep dropping like flies?
Yeah, and that's the other thing too. Like, you'll have a lot of guys who will be like, "You have to go," and you're like, "No, I'm not going to go now." Like, you know, and then you've got teams that are on the rise right now, like the Mariners are on a bit of a heater right now, and so, you know, maybe you can get away with some of the good guys from other teams saying no and pulling up some of the middle guys, because that's what happened to the Jays, right? Like, I mean, six guys go from the Jays. They were all B players that got, you know, the add-on. So for some team like Milwaukee or the Guardians or Seattle, you know, they'll probably get a few extra guys thrown away at the All-Star game. But, I mean, let's be honest. I feel like the All-Star game needs to go. Like, I feel like if we just did a skills comp that was better than the one that they do, I think there would be more people that watched it, and there's less chance of getting hurt.
Case in point, more people watch the Home Run Derby, I feel, than the actual game, right?
Most people don't even know there is a game at this point. It's HRD, and then they're done.
You're not wrong with that. And to that point, honestly, I think they have just as much. I used to watch the celebrity softball one more than I watched anything else, because I used to love watching Meatloaf throw out the pitches.
I love Meatloaf.
But, Mom, where's the Meatloaf? But on that note, it's just one of those things. I agree with you. It's the All-Star game. Honestly, I love that they do the break, because it does give the players a week to get bounced back. Yeah. We get some of these players that are unhealthy, healthy. Get ready for the rest of the grind. That is the 162 game season, which is the most extreme of all pieces in sports, only in my opinion comparable to hockey.
Yeah.
Because 82 games of playing two or three times a week is probably equivalent to 162 games of baseball.
Yeah. And you also have to take into account, like, I mean, I appreciate baseball. I love the game, obviously. You know, we talk about it all the time. But there's guys like Vogelbach who've been at a professional level for a full baseball year this year that I bet you could go find six or seven guys that could probably hit a fastball out, you know, and be as athletic as he is. Whereas
there's like all those guys that do all the YouTube videos.
Yeah. Hockey is one of those sports where, and I think we've talked about this before, where you could take the top 10 hockey players and you could probably plop them into most professional sports and you wouldn't notice that they were there. I mean, you know, maybe, in a couple of situations, but overall, where I don't know that you could take any other sport and put them on skates and be like, okay, just go out there and do that. And not only do they have to be on skates, so they have to be on skates, and with every other sport, pretty much, the object you're using is here, it's in your hand, right? With baseball, you throw it. With football, you catch it. Soccer, you kick it off your foot. Hockey, you actually have the entire game is spent with that object not in your hands. It's one of these.
Yeah. And so it's one of very few games that, like baseball, that the defense team actually usually is the one that puts it in play, right? You know, and goes from there. But to that point, it's just what it is. And so.
And then the Stanley Cup final is an absolute war. Like, it's ridiculous. Ridiculous to think what these poor guys go through, and then you're like, oh, I was playing on a broken leg and a broken arm and a broken head, and you know, like, kudos to them. I mean, Major League Baseball players are good and tough and all the rest of that, but
don't forget to put the foil on.
And if you get a chance, all you people out there, if you're not watching Shorzy, you're doing yourself a disservice. It could be the funniest thing ever made. It is so funny.
And some of the best ball busting, literally. Terps. Sometimes in that show.
The best terps.
I've been very happy with that show and watching Letterkenny and some of the other ones I've watched recently. And that one was one of the ones that you put me on to, Jason. And I'm very thankful you did, because I was dying laughing at some of the parts of that show. And you are definitely not wrong. The NHL playoffs, now the Stanley Cup, has been, like you said, a war of attrition. Game 7 tonight, actually, right? No?
Game 6.
Game 6 is tonight. Okay. So, but yeah,
go Panthers.
It might be a game 7. I really don't know what's going to happen, man. It's been a wild card on that whole series. So we'll see what happens. Maybe Florida evens it up.
Let's go Panthers. No, if they win, Florida wins. Nope. It's done.
Yeah, there's that.
Oilers are done. And then I can stop listening to Oilers fans talk about all the
how good
the
things are. You're just upset because the Canucks are no longer there, my friend. I get
100%.
It. My Sabres were out before the playoffs even started, so I completely hear you.
Yeah, 100%.
So, but going back to where we were starting here, there's obviously some other injuries going on here, and we all can't be as tough as hockey referees in the NHL that chew rusty nails on the side. Yeah. But Alec Manoa also done for the season, and the Blue Jays were really, I don't know if they knew this or it was just leading the fan base on again, because this is what this front office does. Hey, don't worry, we're going to have some pitching coming. It's going to be great. Don't worry about it. All is good. The problem is it's really like Kevin Bacon at the end of Animal House with him going, oh, it's cool, and there's chaos everywhere. Yeah. So yeah. Alec Manoa having to have UCL surgery is going to put him out till pretty much this time next year to even be possibly making a return. Jason, how are you feeling for Alec Manoa at the moment?
Well, I mean, I don't think this could have come at a worse time for Alec. I don't think that, I mean, it's so weird that it was such a weird way it was released, like on a Tuesday afternoon at like 2:30, like no fanfare, no nothing. And I mean, there was no talk about it on Sportsnet.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Synovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at synovus.com.
When you need to work quickly and confidently, you need Grammarly. It's a trusted AI writing partner that helps you get work done faster with better writing. And it works where you work, across 500,000 apps and websites. 96% of users agree Grammarly helps them craft more impactful writing. Get AI writing support that works where you work. Sign up and download for free at grammarly.com/podcast. That's grammarly.com/podcast. Grammarly, easier said, done.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Synovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at synovus.com.
Any of the broadcasts or anywhere. I went and looked. There's no mention of it anywhere. And so, I mean, you know, it harkens back to last year when he kind of went MIA. Like, is there more to this than just what's happening? Or, you know, does he need that surgery? You know, I was just buzzing through the injury reports, and it's like you said, like I've looked at some of the teams and I'm like, how do they have a like how does St. Louis fielding a team right now? Like they go and look, how is Arizona feel, like
no, you're not Arizona's wrong,
like 10 guys hurt.
Yeah,
you know, I think the thing for me is that this is really bad timing for Alec. You know, this was his chance to sort of get out of this hole he's dug himself. And I don't know if the Jays management or the team or the fans have another year left in the tank of propping Alec Manoa up when he falls down.
Yes. I don't know if I have the patience for it. The biggest problem is, to me, he just becomes, okay, great. If he does well, it works, right? But
we said I'm that not at the start looking of the year
on any level. Yeah, I'm not. But there's a difference between what I was thinking, and that's where I was going. Was the I'm not expecting any level of normal happening. You know what I mean? There was a chance that he could come back in spring training and run through spring training, and things will look good, right? Now I'm like, you don't have any leftover spot back of the line. You have to put up or shut up. It's all those things. It's none of the oh, here's the fifth starter spot, which kind of happened, right? To that point, like I said, if he's even at the best end of this whole thing, he's still talking this time of year, next year, I think, with a return, or maybe a month early, but, you know, to ramp up to a starter, he's going to need the full year of recovery. It's not just to show up and, you know, be a freak of nature like some of the people have done it lately and throw gas out of the bullpen again.
I mean, it's, you know, it's such a hard thing. And Alec has proven in the past that he doesn't heal well. He doesn't heal quick. And, you know, so I think you're right when you say that. Like, I think we're looking at a minimum of a year. And to be frank with you, this might be the end of Alek Manoah's story. You know, this is a tough one to come back from. He's still pretty young, but he's had a number of injuries now, none of which are good ones. And so, you know, you start to get to a point where who's going to take a chance on you, aside from the end, you know, letting your contract run out or even buying it out. But I mean, you know, it's another blown sort of experiment for this year. I don't know if he got rushed back and that's what caused the injury to the elbow, or just the fact that he wasn't going as hard as he probably should have been going, and then the elbow got strained. I'm not a doctor. I do play one on TV, but you know, but I
just, the Holiday Express.
It's the shit, is what it is. It's the shit.
It's going to be hard for him. I would think that his character will get him back in some level. I do, especially when, you know, it's not even 20 years ago what a Tommy John injury meant for somebody, right? It's a bounce backable, and there's players that are currently playing in Major League Baseball on Tommy John surgery multiple times.
Yeah.
It's not just a one-time thing. Chad Green.
And that was unheard of. You know, like for someone to consider going in and getting Tommy John's again, they were like, you're out of your mind. And then he comes back and he's throwing 6 miles an hour faster. And they're like, why didn't you get this done earlier? You know, like there's almost a joke with the college pitchers now that are coming out that they want to blow their elbow out so they can get Tommy John's, you know, and then bionic arm it.
I found this out. This was a history lesson in baseball for even me the other day. And I love baseball and I love history baseball stuff even more. There was a very good chance that we would have never been calling this Tommy John surgery, because obviously it's not named after the doctor. It's named after the first famous person that really got it. And Tommy John was a great baseball player, a very underrated baseball pitcher. But at that same time, they approached Sandy Koufax to fix his elbow. And Koufax was like, I'm good. He could have gotten a Koufax instead of getting a Tommy John.
Yeah. And it's interesting that they put his whole name on it. Like, there's not a lot of stuff where your whole name goes on it, you know, like a Tom Collins.
Yeah,
you know, like, it's usually, you don't get that in history.
Lee Harvey Oswald or John Wilkes Booth. Yeah. It's usually those kind of things that are the reason your full name gets attached to something, right?
Yeah. It's like the falafel stand that IKF bought. Like, it just doesn't make sense to call it Iser Kaiser falafel. You know, it's not good. It's not good marketing.
Yeah. I hit one of the best marketing things ever I've heard recently. It's Danny Trejo, aka Machete, has a taco stand in LA.
Apparently it's very popular. He went and hired a really high-end chef, and you know, he's serious about it. I've seen him on TV a couple of times on a couple of the cooking shows. He's really serious about it.
Yeah, and one of the things that, obviously, with his past and everything and doing what his career has done for him, he gives a first chance to convict for felons.
Yeah,
they're trying to have gotten out in parole and trying to rehab and everything like that. And apparently it's been a good success story. So I hope them all the best. That's really cool. But to that point, it's just funny now that some of these names get attached to things like that. And that history thing, like I said, blew my mind. I'm like, no shit. They did both go down about the same time, that same season. And Koufax just said, thank you. I bid you adieu. I'm good with being the best pitcher in Major League Baseball history for a 10-year window. And to that point, there was only one person in baseball history on that note that actually even kind of pushed that window, and that was Roy Halladay.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I think that Clayton Kershaw, who has often, I watched a thing on Clayton a number of years ago, 2 years ago or a year ago. He's a huge Sandy Koufax guy. Obviously, he plays for the Dodgers. And he had spoken a lot about how he had heard comparisons in his life about it. And every single time he was like, don't be silly. Honestly, don't be silly. You can't compare me to, you know, possibly one of the greatest pitchers of all time. And I love a guy who has that much humility, who's willing to say, yeah, you guys can say that I'm great, but I'm a baseball player and I know I'm okay. And Sandy Koufax was not. Speaking of Willie Mays, he was up there. You say Sandy Koufax and people are like, oh, baseball, Dodgers. Like, I mean, it's immediate, you know, so.
Yeah. So flip side of the coin here, we were talking injuries before we got down in a fun rabbit hole there for a minute. So we were talking about injuries. We actually might be finally getting somebody that's coming back tomorrow that you and I were excited about on last week's show to kick off the Cleveland Indians season or series here. Carlos Carrasco is going to be on the mound for the Guardians, having a pretty rough go at it. So if you're talking about a way for the Blue Jays offense to maybe take advantage of that, it's possible there with a 5.8 ERA that maybe Carrasco is taking advantageable, which they did last time. Yeah. But it sounds like Yarod might be starting tomorrow night.
Yeah, and he looked great. They showed a bunch of footage of him on from the last game. He looks like he's gained a little bit of weight. He looks like he hasn't missed a meal while he was off. You know, home cooking and all that.
He wasn't a little boy to begin with.
No, he wasn't. He's a bit of a piece of plywood. But yeah, it was interesting to watch. They kept flashing over to the bench, and it was Vladdy, him, Encarnacion, Martinez. And somebody else, Berrios, all just talking. Yeah. And, I think he's going to be a bit of a lightning rod running through to the end of the season if he can stay healthy. I mean, obviously, that's now the book on him is he has to stay healthy. He's a good pitcher, and he's going to throw hard, and he doesn't like getting hit.
And he's going to have, he's going to have every, tool at his disposal to be the fifth starter. You know what I mean? There's nobody left in the minor leagues. They were fine with the bullpen day thing without Manoa.
Yep.
If Yarod's healthy, it's 100% his job to lose at this point, I think.
For sure.
Because the only other options are literally shuffling around the 40-man roster to get, like, Anamako or Ricky Tiedemann up. And I can't say Tiedemann's in that ballpark where he's ready from that after being on the injured list himself.
Yep.
So it's those kind of things that right now there's a chance for Yarod to steal that job. And we did see some glances of that earlier before he did get hurt, Jason. You and I were very high on him getting picked and up by the Blue Jays, and we do have him for another year. It's not just one and done with him this year. But to that point, we did see a lot of good things, and I saw a lot of great stuff. And when I watched the footage from that start when he had it in Buffalo recently, he has the talent to really take that fifth spot and make it a competitive piece of this rotation again. And when the Blue Jays actually were winning games, we actually had a good, solid 5-man rotation and we're actually able to score just enough runs.
Yeah. And I mean, I think that one of the other things that he adds is that sort of special thing that he does seem to have, which he does seem to have an unwritten camaraderie with a lot of these guys. And I don't know if it's sort of the underdog story that they dig or he's just a cool guy. I mean, he seems to fit right in with the dugout. He seems to always be talking to people and always be excited about what he's doing. And I'm really hopeful that he can turn this around, turn this injury into something positive. And like you said, 100%, this job is his to lose. And I feel like, as we've seen this year, I think the Jays are going to give him almost to a fault enough starts to see what he can do. And I mean, hopefully he just takes the ball and runs with it, no pun intended. But yeah, I mean, I think he's got every opportunity to really help the Jays out and start to close that 5-game gap.
Yeah. And that 5-game gap is only looking bigger and bigger if we don't start digging out of the hole, which we got close to it. We were one game below 500 in the very recent future. And then, unfortunately, the Boston Red Sox steamrolled us. As you would mention, they've been one of the hotter teams in baseball. But another team that is currently ahead of us in those ranks is currently fighting back and forth with the AL Central, and that's the Minnesota Twins are currently in the third wildcard spot right now, Jason. And we saw what they did when they came into Toronto a few months ago. And I was at the one game, which was the most epic comeback I've ever seen live. But those other two games were pretty damn bad. So,
yeah, and, they're a real Jekyll and Hyde for me. I've been fortunate enough to up in Canada, we've been getting a lot more games. Like, so on a night where there isn't a Jays game or where the Jays game's early, sometimes Sportsnet will pick up a secondary game and just play it. And weirdly enough, we've had a bunch of Twins games that I've been able to watch. And they are absolutely Jekyll and Hyde. They are either stomping a mud hole in you, or they look like a U15 AAA team out there trying to play against a team of men. And like errors, like simple, stupid errors that cost them.
Oh, you mean like the 4-1 guy last night?
Yeah. Oh God, let's not even talk about it. But I mean, you know, let's preface that with they've played well. The Jays played well defensively for the last number of weeks. So you're bound to have a game.
They pushed all the one game.
Yeah, the wheels fall off, and I mean, sometimes that's better. Like to lose 7-3 and have all those errors happen in one game. You know, maybe if you go 8 or 9 games without an error, maybe you win seven of the 9. So
the next game that we have against the Guardians, it'll be Barrios versus Lively. And this is going to be a fun matchup. You talk about two guys that are on fire right now. Lively is looking really good this season. And he's been on a little bit of a tear, but this guy's 6-3 with 3.02 ERA in 60 innings almost. And like I said, he's been every bit that he hasn't been throughout his bouncing around in his major league career so far for the Phillies, the Kansas City Royals, the Cincinnati Reds. He's been that guy that's been just thrown around a little bit in trades because he is talented. And now I think the Cleveland Guardians picked it up at the right time here. He's just a guy that had an 88 innings last year, a 5.38 ERA for the Cincinnati Reds. Completely found that next year with the Guardians, and honestly a big part of what they've been having is one of the better teams in baseball this year, so the Blue Jays have to get through him. Thankfully, it's being matched with Jose Barrios on Saturday, but Sunday then you got McKenzie versus Kikuchi. McKenzie's one of those guys that kind of like what you were just saying with the other gentleman there, down. Tristan McKenzie is just a very talented player that hasn't found how to find the consistency in his major league career yet. Right. So who knows which one of him is going to show up on Sunday. And hopefully we get a better showing than what we got from Kikuchi the other night, which I think the best way is saying what was with going on with Kikuchi the other night was the misses were going over the middle of the plate instead of what we've been seeing over the previous starts with him. Those misses with those sliders were turning into 4 home runs in the few innings that he pitched.
And then, I watched them all.
The rest was history. That was rough. I agree. Really I watched rough. All of it too.
And when you see a guy like that who shouldn't be struggling that much, struggling and not fixing it, I don't know why as a manager you don't come out and talk to him. I mean, maybe that doesn't work as well with him. Like, I don't know. But I mean, he was getting pumped, and even the balls that weren't leaving the yard, there was a bunch that were close. Like, there was 5 or 6 that were well into the outfield, and you could see it every time. Just
hit right on the screws.
Yeah,
it was rough.
It's epidemic though. Like, I mean, even like last night, Gausman looked terrible. He's given up. He's making mistakes over the center of the plate. He's making mistakes where these hitters want them. So, I mean, if you're an upper zone hitter, he was leaving it up there. If you hit lower in the zone, he was leaving it down there. Like, I mean, it's almost comical sometimes when you think to yourself, just don't throw it down the middle. Like, I'll take 3 walks. Just stop throwing it down the middle. But you know, it's a
players can tee up that. That's Yeah. And we've been playing good teams. It's the other part of that, too. I can't believe I just said that against the Boston Red Sox, but I can't lie about it. It's just what it is. Yep. They're And if Tyler O'Neill has turned into the guy that he should have been in St. Louis is the other fun equation. I don't know if you've seen what he's been doing outside that Blue Jays series here, but he's putting the hell of a season together for a jumpstart team that is hoping to maybe keep Alex Cora around for another season. That team is still up in the air too. So
yeah, the pride of Burnaby, British Columbia. Then he played his formative years in out where Justin Morneau was out in Ridge Meadows or Maple Ridge or wherever Maple Ridge LA was. I mean, it's interesting too, because I don't know if you remember, was it a year and a half ago that the Jays were starting to seriously look at him, and he was really struggling with the, you know, I think we were talking about him or Nootbaar or somebody else as maybe being a target last year, and nothing. Yeah. And now he's just, I mean, that one home run he hit was demolished. It was third deck. And he hit one foul that was that far gone too. But it's the same as, I don't know if you saw the Teoscar home run, the one where he half swung, or he did swing and they didn't call it. Yeah. And the next pitch, he just hammers into the seats. So, I mean, it's, you know, guys are getting their swats this year. They're getting their home runs. You know, it's going away from being a pitcher's league right now. And the errors seem to be just killing people. Like the more errors you make, the more you're going to lose. And I mean, you look at the bottom teams right now, they're just full of errors. The Astros are full of errors. Like, I mean, it's, you know, so it's
most laughable, I guess, hurt and errors and all that kind of stuff. It's almost, you know, how we were talking about, you know, a couple of years ago that it was like, okay, they've been playing with the balls. They're juiced, right? Yeah. Something's going on. Did somebody like take the rubber core out, put like a wobbler in, so everything's a knuckleball? What the?
I don't know, man.
What's going on, right?
All I know is that to be a pitcher, a good pitcher in the majors right now, you have to be electric. You can't even be not just good. You've got to be unbelievable, because the hitters have gotten unbelievably good, and it's a shooting gallery.
Yeah, there's a good example of that right on the Blue Jays, actually, because this is a gentleman that did really well in our bullpen that hasn't been able to translate into the starting rotation. It was at one point his job to lose too, and that's Bowden Francis.
Yeah,
to your point.
Yeah, I mean, again, he's another one of those kids I feel bad for. I feel like Bowden has had, you know, Nate Pearson like you know, opportunities, and he just can't seem to put it together. And you know, you want to see a little bit more of a fire under some of these kids' asses, because you know, like, it's look at the other guys that have come up from Buffalo and look at how much impact they make and how hard, like, Addison Barger would go through a brick wall right now to stay up. And you know, you look at Justin Turner and you look at some of these other guys. Now, Justin Turner is a bad example because he's just ripped the skin off the ball for the last, you know, 8 days or 9 days, but like a Kiermaier or a Springer, or you know, like guys that just don't appear to be really putting it in right now. I'm proud of the guys from Buffalo for coming up, making hay, making waves. And I mean, if they're not going to stick around in Toronto, hopefully at least we can trade them for some value to get back to help us build.
We're getting closer and closer to pressing the eject button on the ejector seat, I think, is the unfortunate reality. But I do think there is still something that they can do with this team right now and try and force a winner out of it, because the unfortunate reality is you're not going to move Springer's contract unless Ross Atkins is actually the GM that, you know, in disguise of a bad GM, but really good one. You know, does the Scooby-Doo ending and pulls the mask off and goes, I'm a genius all along. So,
or else maybe Ross Atkins gets fired and wherever he ends up, they'll get him. They'll take him.
Dying for John. I need George Springer again. So, and as much as I don't want to say that, is I still think George Springer is still going to find something at some point. I just honestly question if it's going to be in a Blue Jay uniform. But that's just the game, right? Sometimes your number gets called a little bit too early in your career, and maybe there's just not as much left there for George Springer. Yep. I would hope that's the opposite of the case, because he's supposed to be on the team for two more years. So. But you never know. That's the unfortunate reality to it. So on that note, Jason, maybe we should just talk next to click and see if we can turn it brown upside down.
Sure.
So, and obviously, I'll let you talk whatever you want after we get done with this, too. So last week, I had Spencer Horowitz. You had Dalton Varsho, and we had Alejandro Kirk in the guest spot because of defaultisms.
Yeah.
It's a pretty rough week in Blue Jays baseball. It's funny that I think I still have to take, I'll give you a 50-50 here. And because honestly,
right now, half point. I mean,
Varsho and Spencer, what I'm honestly wondering if I just don't count this week and then call us a tie.
It might just be a half point.
Kissing your mother, there's no points.
I mean, Varsho hit a grand slam, but you know,
but he's got a whole four hits the whole week. He's been a .174, and Spencer Horowitz had five hits with three walks, an RBI, he's been .313. He didn't play as many games, so it's like I kind of want to give it to you just because of that grand slam, though. Just because that was the key thing for that one. I think I'm going to do that. I'm going to give it to you, buddy. So you took the lead out of the three-peat here. That's the only reason I did it. It made my math easier. So, Jason, you have four wins. The worst performer of everyday Blue Jay players last week was Double K. So he is off the board and is the current default pick for the guest spot. So who do you think is going to win this week in the coming fun for baseball, Blue Jays baseball?
I am going to go with the tight-shirted Addison Berger.
That is the exact opposite of Robbie Ray, right? From tight pants to tight shirt.
Yeah.
I forget what movie it's from, but the question is how much tighter can this shirt get? And the answer is none more tight.
None more tight.
So we're going to go with Barger. And I think he's going to get some playing time, too. There's just enough things going on, right? That's the catch. So they're going to play with whatever they can play with over the next week. And I'm going to take your Buffalo boy, and I'm going to see you another one. I am going to put my money where my mouth is on Aralvis Martinez. So,
bold.
Games over the week here.
Bold.
So, like I said, I'm putting my money where my mouth is, and I'm putting my hat up. I used to be the minor league guru for the Blue Jays, Jays Journal website that we are obviously the official podcast of. So, I'm putting that broadcast hat that I used to do over all the minor league teams and stuff like that, watching all the Blue Jays prospects, is that was my full-time job when I was doing the writing. So I'm gonna just, like I said, it's gonna happen. Woosa. I'm nothing but good vibes, my friend. So
you got it. I want it to happen.
Is there any Blue Jays topics you would like to talk out before we go off the air this evening, my friend?
No, I think, you know,
in general.
I think we've got, you know, it's Freaky Friday because they got the Guardians and the Red Sox again for their next six. And I mean, I think that the key to this is experiment. Like, I want to see guys playing. I want to see guys out of position. I want to see guys, you know, if you put Vladdy at three and you know, whatever you're going to do. And we didn't even mention the fact that Vladdy cut all his dreads off. It's nuts. He looks like a totally different human. Like crazy.
So have you noticed just a weird hair trend in the dugout to begin with? It's like, I don't know if it's a trying to change the, you know, the bad luck, the juju, or just get the juices going or what it is, but Davis Schneider's been messing around with what's going on with the facial hair. It's not just the mustache for a game. It was like a full beard like mine. And then all of a sudden it was back to like 5 o'clock shadow and a mustache and stuff like that. It's not just Vladdy. There is some evolving of facial hair and regular hair going on in that dugout. It's from all the weird changes I've been seeing. I'm waiting for Danny Jansen to, you know, shave his beard mid-game again, but he shaved his head.
Yeah.
So there's that whole thing. Maybe it's just those, you know, we're trying to, you know, baseball players are known for being superstitious, myself being included in that, being you know, involved in baseball as long as I have been. But whether you're buying the snake oil to hope and get over an injury, or you're, you know, not washing your underwear like in the Bull Durham movie, whatever it might be, whatever gets you winning, you don't fuck with a winning streak, yep. right?
But whatever gets you winning. Yep, whatever gets you winning.
So, good stuff. Anything else, my friend?
No, I just wanted to make sure that anybody that's out there, if you do need a new glove or if you're looking for anything baseball gear-wise, check out rivalbaseball.ca. They have a special on until, I believe it's on until the end of July. JJ will probably smack me in the face if I'm wrong on this one. But any custom glove other than a catcher's glove is $200. And it's full custom, every color, every colorway. All kinds of different webbings and all that. So, and the custom batter's gloves are sweet. They're exactly the same as the Bruce Bolt, same leather, same makeup, same cuff, same everything, just a quarter of the price. So check out rivalbaseball.ca. Drop them a note, say you saw it on Jaybird Watching, and maybe I'll throw you a rival hat or a rival t-shirt or something in yeah. there as well.
Worst case scenario, you're supporting a good Canadian company. So, good stuff. All right. Well, Jason, that's the end of the show this week. We are the official podcast of Jay's Journal, part of Fansided. If you haven't noticed the little icon over on this side of the screen, so make sure you join us and follow the fun that's also on jaysjournal.com. And where you can't find us in our live shows, I saw plenty of you in here again. Come on, join the podcast. This is the Barroom Chat for Blue Jays fans. Drop us those messages, send us those tweets, whatever it is, wherever you happen to be listening. We are here and ready to talk to you. We will have some fun. We will have shenanigans like we always do. Like I said, Jason and I can't be right every week. There's no way in hell. It just doesn't happen. Otherwise, we'd be maybe well, have more money and maybe have Alex and Apple's job at least.
back off a little bit. I think we could take a lap. We have really been right a lot. So
lately. So there has been some fun to that point. No, I think this season, unfortunately, Jason, I'm not as happy that we've been right as previous seasons.
Right.
So, but there's that point. But to that point, you mentioned Nate Pearson a few minutes ago. He's looking better. I'm not gonna lie. So
much better.
We'll see what happens. He should have got left in the other night. But on that note, Blue Jays fans, like I said, we're the Barroom Chat for Blue Jays fans here. Join us. We'll have some fun. If you miss the live recordings every Thursday evening at 7 o'clock Eastern time, 4 p.m. over on the West Coast, over in the Vancouver side of things, where Jason's at, make sure you listen wherever you get your podcasting pleasures for. And obviously, we're on YouTube, TikTok, anywhere you can follow for social media. We will be there. We'll have more fun content for you, too, in the near future. We're trying to do some new fun things that Jason and I are working on, and we'll see what happens. Until then, I guess that's the end of the show. We'll see you next Thursday. 1, 2, 3.
Woo!
Let's go, Blue Jays.
Thank you for listening to the Jaybird Watching Podcast. Please follow us on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, Twitch, at BirdWatchingGC, and our YouTube channel. If you want to support the show and get extra content, please consider joining it to our Patreon at patreon.com/birdwatchinggc. Go, Jays, go.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at cenovus.com.